Welcome to BlindBargains.com coverage of CSUN 2017. From braille displays to video magnifiers, we're bringing you the dish on the hottest new products, apps, and more. Brought to you by the American Foundation for the Blind.
VisionAware.org is a free, easy-to-use website for adults with vision problems. If you're having trouble seeing and don't know where to turn for answers, VisionAware provides you with expert solutions and advice. Learn about your eye condition. Get practical advice for working with vision loss. Discover how to keep doing all the things you love to do. Find help, hope, and connection at visionaware.org.
Now, here's JJ Meadow.
We are here at CSUN 2017 in the Blind Bargain Suite, and I'm thrilled to be joined by the ever-expanding, growing team from NV Access. Hey, guys.
Hey. Hey.
All right, let's just go around the room instead of me trying to introduce everybody, starting at my left, and you guys can say who we have here.
Yes, I'm Jamie Tay, Executive Director and Software Developer.
Hey, Jamie.
I'm Rafe Turner, Software Developer at NV Access.
And the new guy.
Yeah.
He's a newbie.
That's it.
Newish.
Yep. Newish. Okay. All right.
And Quentin Christensen, Training Material Developer, and no longer the new guy.
Was the new guy.
And Mick Curran, another Executive Director and Software Developer.
You were on the... What was the first one of these we did? Like 2010 or 11?
Yes.
Yeah. Right. You guys are about 12. It was Joker. Wow. No, NVDA obviously has come a long way, and it's a little bit different now. You come to CSUN, and everyone's looking for you guys instead of you guys looking for them, right? So things have changed a little bit. So you guys did a presentation and talked about a whole bunch of new features. So why don't we, you guys decide who wants to talk about it, but tell us some of the new things that you were talking about in your presentation this week.
I nominated Quentin.
Thank you.
Is that you? All right.
Because he's got the notes.
Yeah. Excellent.
Perfect. Cool. Well, when we already talked about one thing, so I'll just refer people to the Amazon podcast that with Shelly, where you, Jamie, were demoing the new Kindle support. So I guess you can briefly talk about that, and then we'll go into other stuff.
Yep. So we now support with Kindle 1.19 for PC. That now works out of the box with NVDA, so you no longer need the Kindle for Accessibility version download.
The massive download that used to be.
The massive download, exactly. So it works out of the box for reading and navigating, and you can use comments, you can
highlighting,
you can look up things, so you can take something and look it straight up in Wikipedia without needing to copy and paste. What else can you do?
It's a much more full reading experience as opposed to some of the other earlier apps where maybe you could just hear the text and that's
it. I can simplify and say that aside from the automatic page turns, which are unique, it's very much like browse mode across the rest of
Kindle.
Yeah. So if you're familiar with browse mode there, then you'll be familiar with browse mode in Kindle as well.
And works with most Kindle books. Something about an enhanced typesetting, are most books including that?
I feel like the books generally specify.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not 100% sure on the specifics yet, and that might be a question for Amazon.
Right.
I feel like they're going to clarify that in the upcoming short term.
It works for a lot. I already downloaded a couple and was playing with it a little bit. So again, Shelly does a lot with that, and Jamie on an Amazon podcast on this very Blind Bargains feed. What else? You had 40 minutes. I'm sure you presented everything you had time to cover, right?
Exactly. So as well as all the other recent changes and new features in NVDA, one of the other big things that we talked about that we've had recently has been the addition of the training material. I think it's big because it's my baby.
Yeah.
but we've got the basic training for NVDA module, which is now available in electronic text, braille, and audio. And it's a very comprehensive, so despite being called basic, it's actually a very comprehensive module to get you from using NVDA for the first time all the way through to using really advanced concepts like object navigation, screen review, configuration, browse mode. Yep, it covers just about everything. And what it doesn't cover, we've gone on and got a second module, which is Microsoft Word with NVDA, which covers basically getting you all the way through Microsoft Word and all of its many features using...
Including some you'll probably never use.
Yes.
Exactly. And one of the really interesting things that I found in developing that was you'll notice in NVDA 2017.1 and 2016.4 and probably the next couple of versions, is there are a lot of improvements in the experience with Microsoft Word. And that is absolutely related in going through and testing out everything in Microsoft Word. I had a lot of liaison with Microsoft over things that they could do to improve the experience. And we as a team had a lot of chats and filed a lot of bugs internally on things that we could do. So overall, that's been a great experience as well. And currently working on Excel. So hopefully we'll see similar improvements in both products in that area too.
And that's an interesting segue there. So we mentioned Reef as the developer that we hired. Was it June last year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it was June.
And Reef has had the lucky job of fixing most of those Office bugs, or at least a lot.
Yeah.
It's really good to have Reef on the team, an extra developer on the team. We felt that it was really important that we just needed more capacity. Mick and I were struggling to get everything done, and we felt that NVDA development wasn't progressing at the pace we wanted, and so we thought it was time to hire someone else, which has also allowed us to focus on some of the work with some of these companies. So we've been working with Google, we've been working with Amazon, obviously, on Kindle. We've been working with Microsoft on Edge, which might be another interesting segue, Mr. Karen.
Yeah, so
if that's all right,
I'm
then.
Sure.
Hey, I don't have to ask the questions. That's fine. Just carry
it. It wasn't intentional, but I was like, hey, this
works.
Cool.
Yeah, I'll just step out and get some snacks and come back in 20 minutes. Yes, Edge. Now, Edge as a web browser is notoriously didn't get off to the best start for assistive technology. What is it going to take on your end or on Microsoft's end to get me as a Firefox or Chrome user to say, oh, I really need to switch to Edge? I mean, obviously, you're trying to work towards that goal, at least to an extent, or at least make it another choice, right?
Okay, so I think it's safe enough to say that if you have the Windows 10 anniversary update and you have NVDA 2017.1, that a good majority of websites will be quite functional with Edge and NVDA. So you will certainly be able to read all of the text and all the different controls and buttons and be able to use all your browse mode things you're used mm-hmm. to. So you're moving, jumping between headings and buttons and doing your find and your table navigation. All that has all now been implemented in NVDA for support for Edge. But the one thing you do have to be aware of is the performance isn't as great as you would find in, say, Firefox or Chrome. And this is something that we are definitely working on together with Microsoft. In fact, us and the other ATs are all sitting around the table. I mean, for instance, we actually did go to Quentin and I certainly went to Redmond, Washington to mm-hmm. see Microsoft in November, and us and the other ATs were around the table and we had very good discussions about where things needed to go, and we made a lot of progress all together. And so over the next few months and maybe, you know, further into this year, we are really going to see some great improvements in Edge, especially in performance.
You know, and you see different approaches where some of the other screen reader vendors have chosen, it seems, to, well, we don't want to add Edge support until it's great, you know, the best support ever, where not just on Edge, but on a lot of things, yeah. You guys take a more incremental approach in a lot of cases.
We do, and I think it helps the industry, as in, as much as, you know, we obviously do want to make a quality product, but at the same time, one of the roles that MVAccess has always had is to look at, you know, one thing was to participate in standards groups, and another was to really try and push the envelope forward and actually act as a you know, prototype. I mean, in many cases, in fact, well, it's fair enough to say we were the first people to have any kind of support for Edge. And yes, it was slow, but the point is that it gave everyone an idea of where things were up to. And that's the beauty about open source, you know.
That must be a bit humbling too, not just Edge or any feature, some mm-hmm. great new feature in NVDA, if you see your feature copied in another screen reader eventually.
Totally, yeah.
I think it's a very good thing. I suppose one of the things about being a not-for-profit is, for us, as much as we want to, you know, ideally I'd be really happy if everyone used NVDA, at the end of the day, we've also achieved our mission if everyone does implement good support for these things.
Yeah.
For us, it's about the access at the end of the day. Our product is one way of achieving that access, but if the rest of the industry achieves that access as well, that's really fantastic for us. We've done it. We can pat ourselves on the back and say we've done a good job either way.
You know, but we feel that we can provide a lot of the technical expertise and, you know, participate in those discussions. And, yeah.
I notice a theme developing over the past couple of years when it comes to training materials, when it comes to office support, when it comes to the various voice packages that are now available. It's squashing a lot of the excuses that you've heard over the years. Oh, I'd love to use NVDA, but...
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the things, you know, now there you can install Eloquence legally now.
Yes.
And you can install Vocalizer and Acapella,
right.
And others, of course,
yes.
You know, not to mention, you know, the improving office support. So that's, I'm assuming that's like obviously guiding a lot of what you guys just
totally
to do.
Is. I mean,
that's,
you know,
very
we,
deliberate.
Yeah, there was a phase, you know, where we were just getting NVDA up to, you know, being a fully fledged screen reader, but then we certainly, yeah, were very aware of lack of training material support, that kind of stuff. And so we had some time and we reevaluated everything and we started, you know, going full force into that area now. And
so a couple of initiatives, as well as the training material that have come out of that, we're in the process of doing a rebrand.
Mm-hmm.
And that is more or less just to make MV Access more values focused. Why are we doing what we're doing, as opposed to, you know, less about just the product, simply because that means a lot more to people, and particularly the industry and, you know, corporations, and also frankly it will help us in the raising of funds and things like that. But then also related more closely to training is the certification that we have launched by virtue of talking about it this week.
I could be a certified NVDA master of a guru extraordinaire. How does this work?
You can. So you pretty much, you can now take an online exam to become an NVDA expert. And
is there a cost for that?
Well, the exam itself is free.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyone can take it if you pass or fail. But if you pass, then if you want an official certificate, you can purchase one. And that at the moment is $100 Australian. What's that, about 72 US or something?
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
To ask Alexa. But something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So different questions about the different aspects of the screen reader, of course. And
yeah,
yes.
So maybe Quentin
can
talk about where the questions came from. He wrote those.
Yeah, absolutely. So the question... They,
yes.
They did. The in going...
Questions.
Yes. In going through and developing the basic training for NVDA module, we looked at all of the different workflows and processes and all of the different features of NVDA and what users need to be able to do. And so the questions themselves sort of largely came from the subjects that are covered in that module, the topics. I should also add that is not a requirement. You don't need to have purchased the training material to do the certification, obviously, because pretty much all the material is in there. It's certainly a help. But if you are already what could be called an NVDA expert, you can now just do the certification and officially be an NVDA expert.
How many questions?
About 101, isn't there? It's like randomized questions,
sure.
And things like that. So you probably, I mean, at the end of the day, it takes about 55 minutes.
Okay. Is it timed?
Yes.
Yes.
It is timed.
Okay. And so you would just take that, and I'll have to do this after the podcast at some point. And we'll see how it goes, and I guess we'll go from there. But
test your knowledge.
All right. another one of those really interesting things, the certification is quite interesting. You mentioned open source, and open source to me is usually an advantage and an amazing thing where, of course, people can share code and submit code and everything. Until I've heard from especially some government agencies and some other, you know, large companies that they, we don't want to install open source software on our servers. That seems really backwards to me, but I'm assuming you've encountered this a little bit. How can you counteract that?
I think we've hit the free problem more than the open source problem.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that we're free, there are actually, oddly enough, organizations that can't quote purchase unquote or acquire something because it's free. And so that's actually a bigger issue we're striking, I feel, than the open source case.
Okay.
Have we ever... I don't know that we've ever had...
We've asked about, you know, whether we have a... Are there certain, you know, US security numbers and stuff that, you know,
I thought there are other licenses that you can get for open... You know, if someone has looked at this code and certified that it's not malicious.
Yeah,
The really interesting thing is that because it's... And, you know, open source has been pointing this out for a long time. Because it's open source, Security is something you can technically certify yourself if you're so inclined.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with a closed source product, you don't have that guarantee.
And there has been security breaches. Of course, there has been security breaches in AT products in the past.
Absolutely.
So it's,
Yeah. And we obviously, we work, you know, like every other vendor, we work pretty tirelessly to deal with security issues when they arise. But the fact that we can respond to them so quickly as well, we have a much faster release cycle than most AT. And so that helps us deal with that problem as well.
A lot of the recent developments, there's actually been a few external developments that have definitely benefited you as well. How does that, something like an NVDA remote or Dictation Bridge, how do these type of products, how do they communicate with you, and what's your relationship with a third-party product that's going to ultimately enhance your product?
I think that generally people do talk quite openly to us about these things. And so we hear about them. We don't necessarily get involved or haven't gotten involved in the development so much. Certainly we've had a relationship where they've asked us questions and we've been happy to answer those questions. At the end of the day, for us, it's fantastic. And for them, it works well. So it's a very mutually beneficial kind of relationship. And it obviously helps build the NVIDIA ecosystem. And we're proud to be able to, to have that ecosystem and to say, well,
sure,
these are all these great things you can achieve. And I think it's a testament to the community nature of the product that these add-ons are being created and that they're adding such amazing value. They're not just little gimmicks that people are creating. These are really magnificent things.
I mean, I would put NVDA remote in the same list as, we were saying that people were asking for the training, people were asking for the support, people were asking for this.
True.
NVDA remote was one of those big things.
Yeah.
And now that's achieved.
And it's a very lightweight implementation too, the way that you can that you can set it up. So another one that people often ask for, and it's niche, but a lot of blind people are into it, is music production and audio editing. So you guys have done some work in that area as well.
Yeah, so a couple of years ago, I've actually done a lot of work with Cakewalk Sonar over the years, and unfortunately, Cakewalk Sonar's accessibility is diminishing rather than improving, to put it diplomatically, which is really sad. And I
especially for such an expensive product.
Yeah.
And I eventually I decided to move on, and so I started playing with Reaper, which is a digital audio workstation for music production and the like, and it's very cheap. Compared to a lot of other products. It's also very lightweight compared to a lot of other products. I think it's about $60 for the non-commercial license, but I think non-commercial basically means as long as you earn less than $10,000 a year from that work. So you've got a starting point. But even the full license, when I say full, I mean the commercial is, I think, only $200 and something US.
Yeah,
so that gives you a very, this stuff can literally create jobs. But anyway, there was a package, a product called Ray Access. I don't know how you're supposed to pronounce that.
That's what I've been called, Ray Access.
And it was really, really good, but unfortunately it stopped being maintained and it wasn't open source. And so we got to Reaper version 4 and things stopped working. And so at the end of the day, it wasn't really usable. Properly, you could work around it, but it wasn't usable.
Right.
So I started writing a new package called OSARA, which stands for Open Source Accessibility for the Reaper application, because I thought I'd come up with a nice acronym.
Yeah, sure, of course.
and
you came up with it, so you know how it's pronounced because it's what you say.
Yeah, everyone asks how it's pronounced, and in hindsight, I should have come up with someone.
Well, you might as well pronounce it the way that the speech synthesizer is going to pronounce it anyway.
Someone else came up with Rosa, and I was like, oh, that would have been easier. But by that stage, I'd already committed to Osara, so I stuck with Osara. But more or less, it's heavily inspired by Ray Access, but there are a lot of features that have been added since then, largely due to advancements in Reaper. And so now, for example, we have access to things like envelopes, so that allows you to do like fades. So previously with Sonar, for example, you can record automation, and so you can like gradually decrease the volume, or you can grab a control surface and gradually decrease the volume. But sighted people have a much easier way in some cases, where they can actually just draw on the screen, say a curve from, I want the volume to be here at this time, and then they just draw a nice little curve and bring it down to here at this time.
Sure.
And now we can do that with, by actually inserting those points and just saying, I want a linear curve between these two points, and it will go off and do that. And that's not been possible before. We also have access to things like stretch markers, which allow you to literally move. Let's just say you sing a vocal bit and it's slightly out of time, or you're playing a drum track and you play something slightly out of time. you can actually use stretch markers to reshape that, and it's almost unnoticeable to the user. So previously, that's only been possible with the mouse.
Wow. Yeah, so many. I've never seen an application, I think, with more keyboard shortcuts and possibilities and just the ability to... And there's so many facets. If you haven't played with Reaper, it does, you know, audio editing and music, MIDI editing, and, you know, multi-track, single-track effects. And there's so many different things. So there's a lot of... It's almost more complicated than Office in some ways. I'm trying to...
Certainly in the number of keyboard shortcuts, it's pretty insane.
Do you have good support from the company that's making Reaper?
So actually, it's funny, people have said, oh, you know, we've been trying to get accessibility improvements. And I ended up one day, because I've been working on Asara for quite a while by myself, and there were a couple of things I just couldn't achieve, or at least couldn't achieve well. And I ended up just emailing them, and I got a reply. And I suppose having the experience in, you know, developing assistive technology,
sure,
I was able to say, this is how this needs to improve, not just, I want you to do this.
Right.
So I was able to explain, okay, we need you to implement it this way. And they've been incredibly responsive. So there are a few, you know, long-standing issues that have been fixed. So now, for example, the effects, some of the inbuilt Reaper effects weren't accessible previously, and now they are. All of the sliders can be controlled, and all of the, you know, the tab controls work. And just some of these enhancements have been very minor, but have made a massive difference. And they're very responsive. Sometimes I send an email, and I check my email an hour later, and I've got a response saying, oh, here's a build. It's like, wow, it's almost like it's MVDA.
You get their nightlies too now.
Yeah.
And they do put out updates quite a bit. So.
Yeah, they do.
And of course, and there's the demo mode is free, so people can try it out for a little while, and just have to download a couple programs, and it's pretty easy to set. And there's tutorials and people doing classes for it and everything. So
yeah, and it's interesting. I mean, Asara's not even, we haven't reached the official first release yet, but people have been using it regardless and are still using it, and we will reach the first release eventually.
Eventually,
there's, you know, documentation is something that is unfortunately still rather lacking, and there are. We're trying to sort of work on that, and there are people that are hopefully going to be able to help with that.
Sure.
Like everything else we do, it is open source.
So Reef's going to be locked in the closet doing Office updates for the rest of eternity.
And Aria.
Okay.
Yeah.
So obviously that's on the roadmap. What else is on the roadmap? I saw a tweet, I forget which one of you guys, about grade 2 input, ?
Yes. So... contracted Braille input is coming. I've actually already done a large chunk of the work, but I got both sidetracked and blocked by a couple of issues in the Braille translation library that we use, which I believe have now been fixed. I was able to contribute some fixes, and they did get approved, which is nice. That work is coming. I just need to get back to it. Hopefully, it will be sometime. I don't have a date yet, but sometime this year that will go into MVDA. And as I say, web and ARIA 1.1, I assume listeners will be familiar with ARIA at least to some extent, but basically what is used to make fairly complex web applications accessible.
Yep, a lot of your modern web apps, and when you hear things that are auto-speaking or...
And you know, dialogues and checkboxes and menu buttons and all tree views and all of these interesting controls that we now have on the web as well.
Yeah.
Reef has also been working on some graphical user interface enhancements, and while that's not meaningful to them, to blind users, we have a lot of sighted users that are using MVDA to test their websites.
Sure, I noticed you had especially in 2016.4, there were, you know, dialogues that were going off the screen or no one ever looked at it, right?
And it's done a lot of really, or even if we'd looked at it, we're like, we don't really know how to fix that.
Yeah.
or we do, but we really don't. Yeah. So Reef has done a lot of really great work on improving that. And that's also, I should mention, important to low vision users. We don't just have blind users using MVDA. So it's been really fantastic to have another pair of hands on board.
What are you noticing as trends in the industry? It seems like the screen reader choices, they're kind of both shrinking and expanding at the same time, right? Narrator's getting better, but VFO is buying up everybody, and who knows what else is going on. But, you know, the types of screen readers and the ones that are available now in the next couple of years may be quite different than what we had even 3-4 years ago.
We do get that impression. Unfortunately, there's a lot of rumor right now and not much substantive.
Yeah.
We certainly live in interesting times in many respects.
Oh, yeah.
There are as you say, there are very good things happening and also some slightly concerning things with regard to...
But I think, I don't know whether we covered this last time or not, but the point is that, you know, or maybe not, the you know, things like the merger of VFO and things like that just do... make it more the reason why we continue the work that we do, because there always is going to need to be alternatives in the screenreader space.
Competition is hugely important, particularly in an industry like accessibility. I mean, even if we have, let's assume that Narita became the best screenreader in the world, right? What happens when, you know, let's just say there's something that we need to implement. There's that 10% of users, you know, we want, okay, support for math or something like that. And that might not be a priority. I'm not saying it isn't, but it might not be a priority for Microsoft or Apple.
Sure.
And in that instance, there needs to be a sort of more independent option that can try to push that barrier forward. And that's what one of the functions that we've served in, you know, as over the last, 10 years.
Yeah. And even if you don't create the code to make some niche thing possible, of course, being open source, someone else could do it. And
well, think about Dictation Bridge.
Absolutely.
There hasn't been a free option for accessible dictation. At least I don't believe so until Dictation Bridge.
At least not one that worked well.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so now Dictation Bridge is going to change that. And, you know, that's certainly not something that Narita is currently doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's just yet another example. And that might drive other products to start implementing things like that. And that's great if it does.
Sure.
But there needs to be that competition to force innovation and prevent stagnation.
Well, you guys should...
All these Asians.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's a good transition because you guys are obviously at least expanding somewhat. You know, this is your team of four now? Or do you have, is there someone that you left behind and forced them to stay?
No, it's just a four.
This is, but it is a growing team of four now, but of course a lot of that is on the donations, another Asian.
Yes.
So what are things looking like? Obviously, you're always looking for donations, but it seems like that... I bring this up in part because I hear every so often someone go, I don't know if I want to use NVDA because what if they go away tomorrow? I'm like, what if anybody goes away tomorrow?
Yes.
You know, I mean, that really could happen to any company, but obviously you're on at least a decent enough footing that you're able to bring four people to San Diego and you're able to have these meetings with Microsoft and you're able to do a lot of things even that you weren't able to do 5 years ago.
Mm. Do you want to take that one, Lee?
Yeah, I think we're in a pretty healthy position at the moment, and we certainly plan to be going on for many more years to come, and I think we have, you know, pretty good foundation for that. At the same time, that has been enabled by the generous support of our donors, and especially our monthly, you know, monthly donors, because that enables, you know, a good you know, income stream, you know,
easy to forecast.
Yeah, easy
right.
to forecast. You know?
Sure.
So we're very, very appreciative of that, and of course, then, you know, that then enables us to then go on and focus on some other work, you know, with other, well, NVDA work, but with other companies and stuff, which then in turn, apart from helping users, also provides other income streams for us as well. So we need to find a really good mix here between
sure.
accessibility consulting and core NVDA work. And I think we're, you know, finding that at the moment. I think it's
sure.
working very well. So.
As far as the donations, do you guys think about it all, or doing any sort of perks for donators, or do you want to avoid that? That way, you don't have like two tiers of users.
Don't have a good answer to that question.
Yeah, we've talked about it
certainly. Yeah,
but it is a sticky wicket, right? Especially as much as you support developing countries.
Yeah,
you don't want to have
this is the
elite version of it.
Yeah,
you know?
No,
yeah.
Exactly.
Right,
we wouldn't offer new features, or you know, we wouldn't lock new
sure.
features out from.
And that's certainly yeah. something that's come up with. The training material, for instance, because it is the first product that we have sold and said, if you want this, you need to pay. That is really because it's a...
Value add?
Yeah, it's
right
something that is not core to the product, but can really enhance the experience for somebody who might need that.
Mm-hmm.
And so... Yeah, we are absolutely not changing the core
sure,
focus
of
being free and freely available.
Do you guys do, or do you have third-party people, I think we talked about this a tiny bit before, but if someone wants a custom application developed or custom scripts for a certain, you know, like phone software or, you know, customer support portal or whatever, do you guys do any of that, or do you have people that you can refer people to? Or?
We have probably two answers on that. One is if We like to take on, so we do definitely do accessibility consulting, but we tend to work, at least at the moment, with probably, you know, the mid to large companies,
sure.
I would say, where our specialized expertise are particularly required. And whereas with a lot of the more general accessibility work, we certainly have a lot of contacts. We can be, you know, we can be suggesting, what's the word there?
Referring,
yes. You know, to, you know, so we're certainly happy to pass it on to you know, others.
Sure. It seems like the goal, if possible, too, would be if someone happened to develop some sort of custom script that can be shared back in. That way, if someone else has the same job or is using the
Absolutely.
Same software.
We totally support right. the idea of openness in that way. And I mean, briefly, we should probably cover the fact that we do have an add-ons repository, of course, for NVDA
mm-hmm.
anyway. And that's all, you know, open code, and people can contribute straight to that if they, you know, if they're not contributing to the core of NVDA, they're making their own add-ons. Whatever, and that's what we would like to see in the script.
You see a lot of, you know, that's where a lot of those innovative approaches and different approaches, I haven't tried it yet, but I guess the Windows 10 App Essentials has a thing down where you can trail maps.
I tried that the other day. That looks really good. And, you know, that's nothing really to do with us, and it's just some cool, innovative work.
Some of the stuff may end up in the course.
Absolutely, and it's a good, you know, we'll look at all that and say, you know, that's a good idea. We'll take it in.
I think one of the things that has always really impressed me about NV Access, even before I came on board, is that it has probably the most enthusiastic community of users around it than anywhere else I've encountered.
NVDAcon
is the
word that was that the user that started this, or where did that
it was users? That was the users who started it. That was nothing official to do with mm-hmm. us, and it's really a unique event in that way, and it's now even expanded to the point where they're organizing more local regional NVDA cons as well as the
wow.
main international NVDA con, which is coming up in May, and NVDAcon.org is the website.
And you guys support them too in that too. You know, I think you guys made some appearances at.
Yeah, we said they're happy to do a keynote or something. Mm-hmm. Like
and
that.
We're probably more involved. We're slowly becoming. We never want to take over the conference. I don't feel like.
Right.
First of all, I don't think it's not something that we have the ability to do all the time. But second, it actually helps. I think it's a really good thing that it's independent.
Yeah.
Having said that, we are certainly supporting them more. Now we've provided, you know, assistance in getting the website, and we'll probably be hosting, you know, the conference sort of resources.
Sure.
But yeah, and we've done the keynotes for the last.
Well, that makes sense.
Episodes.
I don't think you'd have the president of some other screen reader company as the keynote for NVDA. That would really be an interesting. So,
yeah.
Well, great. Anything else that we need to bullet point mention at this point, or?
This has been another long and winding road. I think that was the last.
That was the last title, so we need a different title.
The winding and long road?
Yes.
Is there anything else, Quentin?
The winding and long road.
Since your mind seems to be more organized.
Yeah, sure. A couple of other things to mention briefly is we have telephone support available.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm. As one more new initiative for, and again, something that's available to purchase for those who would like to. But certainly support that's available with no obligation. We have, again, that very robust community. We've got the user's email list, a developer's email list for those interested in creating add-ons.
Is there an add-on? There's a guide, isn't there, for someone who's new to it?
There is. There's an NVDA developer's guide.
Mm-hmm.
And probably one last thing that really ties all this together is we have the new in-process blog.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep, our new blog. And the edition that is up currently, or will be when this goes, the edition that's up currently has basically all of these links, because it sort of ties in from everything that we've been presenting at the conference here. And
you've committed yourself to writing that article.
I have. Actually, I've already written it.
Oh, good.
I'm just going to press the button on my phone.
You realize we post these pretty fast. So
yeah.
Well, good. All right.
You're prepared. Well, Quentin,
is that link from the NVDA website, or is there a different address for that, or...?
So currently, because we're in the process of developing a new website, things are in a state of flux right now. We should, we'll give you a link for the show notes.
Okay, it'll be in the show notes at blindmargins.com.
there's a link to that.
It will eventually be linked off the main site,
of course.
But we're in a state of transition.
Great. Go ahead and give out that quote unquote main website. That ain't changing, and whatever other contact information that you.
Yep, that's not changing. So that is still nvaccess.org is the main website, And from there, you can get to everything. The shop link has the training material, the phone support. The download link, obviously, is the big one where you can download NVDA. There's help, which will get you to the user guide, the email lists, the other community resources. What else do I need to cover here?
Of course, if you choose to donate, which would much be...
Appreciated.
There we go. You can certainly find a download link there.
Buy a dictionary.
And what about the certifications?
Oh, the certifications. Thank you, Reef. Yes.
Yes. Now, a link to that will be in the In Process blog. We're also yet to put a link to the certification.
It's just coming up.
That new.
At NV Access on Twitter.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. And on Facebook as well.
And it seems like over time, too, perhaps just organically, hashtag NVDASR is kind of... Do you guys watch that hashtag? Or?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, cool. And Quentin tends to be the one that handles a lot of your questions on Facebook and on email lists and like. He's doing a lot of the...
Oh, he's the guy I was bugging on Twitter all week. And then,
that's right. That's right.
You know, I feel like training material developer is a title we need to revise.
Vice President of...
Vice President of everything else.
Yeah.
It might be the title.
Stuff.
Official job title is other duties as required.
Yes. Well, makes awesome. Sense. It's always a thrill to have you guys, Ben. And we have a couple more empty chairs here. So, next time we do this, you could...
Someone was talking about, you know, if you're doubling in size, you know, we were trying to do the calculation.
Oh.
Where we were going to be at. And I was like, I'm not having that conversation.
So. Yeah, you know, right? You'll get there. Hey, you know, one new person every year. That's we'll see what happens. We'll have to stay tuned to Blind Bargain CSUN coverage in the future to see how many people come in to hear to the next one. So. Cool. Thank you so much, everybody. It's always a thrill to have everybody on the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For more exclusive audio coverage, visit blindbargains.com or download the Blind Bargains app for your iOS or Android device. Blind Bargains audio coverage is presented by the AT Guys. Online at atguys.com. This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2017.